The Bible teaches universal principles, and the Bible teaches spiritual principles. Universal principles, if you keep them, they'll bless you, even if you don't use faith. Has nothing to do with faith, it's a universal principle. You break them, it's going to hurt you. They're just universal principles, and the Bible teaches them to us. Then there are spiritual principles, which require a relationship with Jesus, requires you to have faith, to believe God in these principles. And Christians, you know, for every mile of truth, there's 2 miles of ditch. So on one side of truth, we've got Christians who don't believe in the miraculous, the power of God. They don't believe in miracles, the gifts of the Spirit, or, you know, that God's going to get involved in any way. So they just, you got to do it by the sweat of your brow, the work of your hand. Then the ditch on the other side are the miracle Christians. You don't have to do anything. Do whatever you want. And when you need to, you just cry out to God and a miracle happens. We live our lives by miracles. And both are missing something. And so as you go into God's Word, I love the book of Proverbs because it'll teach you universal principles. And some people will read it and go, well, those are just common sense. But I've noticed that common sense isn't so common in today's world. And common sense just seems to be the bottom half of your knowledge base. And we live in a world where, you know, when you listen to Dr. Kevin Lehman, there's going to be things that are going to be aha to you. And then someone else is going to go, well, I knew that my whole life. Because our families have broken apart. And in our world today, especially in Canada and America, it's like we've got other drives in our lives than the importance of the family. And so I want to just share a couple of thoughts with you about wisdom. One of the things that stunned me when I began to read the book of Proverbs, my mom and dad are wonderful parents. I was laughingly talking to Kevin, Dr. Lehman. I said, I'm one of those guys that I can't blame my mother for anything. I said, I wish I could, but I had these parents that were so loving, so amazing. There is no such thing as perfect families. They're just healthy families. And they were such a blessing in my world when they raised me up. But my dad challenged me to read the book of Proverbs every month. So there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. He said, so whatever the date is, if today is the second or the third, I would read that chapter of the book of Proverbs. And I found that the book of Proverbs is filled with Hebrew proverbs, which are always very common sense. They're brilliant. And that I would read. So I started doing that as a teenager. I read it through. I have read the book of Proverbs through so many times. And I began to recognize that God is all about wisdom. And so one of the verses that shocked me was in Proverbs chapter 1. There's a verse that says that when calamity comes into your life, I will laugh at you. What? That's not my God, the God of miracles, who comes in and just looks after everything with a miracle. But the more I studied this out, the more I realized wisdom is speaking aloud. And let me read this thing to you. It's in Proverbs 1. I believe we have it for the big screen. Verse 20. Here's what it says. Wisdom calls aloud outside, raises her voice in the open squares, cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning. Fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. Because I've called out and you refused. I've stretched out my hand. No one regarded. You disdained my counsel. Would have none of my rebuke. I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I'm going to mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they'll call upon me, but I will not answer. They're going to seek me diligently, but they will not find me. This shocked me when I read this as a young man. What? God can't be that harsh. God can't be that hard. What do you mean? But it's not saying God, it's saying wisdom. Wisdom. Then it goes on to say, that you're not going to find me because you hated knowledge, didn't choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, despised my every rebuke, eat the fruit of your own way, be filled with the fruit of your own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, the complacency of fools will destroy them, and whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. This is not a negative message today, but a positive message that is saying to the Church of Jesus Christ, yes, he loves to do miracles in our lives. When we fall into situations, when storms blow in our lives, and we just go, what's going on? God loves. But we take the word miracle, and I don't think we even have a proper definition for it, because much of the Bible is trying to teach us wisdom. We often don't have a miracle problem, we have a wisdom problem. Often a lot of the situations in our lives that we face aren't because the devil is so strong, he's a defeated foe. It's not because God is reluctant and withholding, it's because God has made it so easy. He says, wisdom is screaming at you, dude. He's saying wisdom cries out in the business square. Wisdom is available to any of my kids who want it. I want to show you, I want to help you, I want to teach you. And he really goes to length to say the people who are going to struggle with this or who are going to always run into problems and then they're going to want to find answers and they can't find them, they hate knowledge, won't seek God diligently, they won't choose the fear of the Lord, they won't have any of his counsel, they despise any of his rebukes, they turn away like simple people, they're complacent, this complacency of, well, you know, it's just the Bible, what's it got to do with today? Complacency, all of these issues are destroying homes and families and finances today, because the Bible's very clear that there's a wisdom that Holy Spirit as your helper is going to lead you into all truth. Truth about raising kids, truth about your sex life, truth about your marriage, truth about every new season of your life. God's not surprised. No, he is ready with amazing wisdom, amazing understanding. And Christians and believers should literally be so filled with the wisdom of God that we're building our lives on wisdom. You see, it's wisdom that builds the house, Proverbs says. It's wisdom that fills every room with pleasant riches. It doesn't say miracles. Yet many of us in the Pentecostal charismatic world, we'll often talk about the miraculous as though we're giving God credit. And I love the fact that we're giving God credit. But the truth is that everything that you get in your life that lasts, wisdom has helped you get there. Is God involved? Of course he is. Because does God bless? Of course he does. But I often joke around that if you're praying for a $250,000 a year job and you finally get it and you're the CFO of a multi-million dollar company, you get the job, you got the corner office, you go to work for them. Now the question is, will you be able to keep earning the $250,000 job? Do you understand systems and structures and corporations and departments? Can you read a financial page? Can you help all the executive team when it comes to the finances? You took the job, you got the job. It was a miraculous appointment, but now can you do the work? Anyone can be a father. It's a biological father. But can you be a daddy? Can you actually father these kids? You know, some people are great singles and lousy marrieds because they've never learned anything about, they've never read a book about a man or a woman or marriage or anything. They just think that their life is just going to happen. But the Bible's very clear that it is wisdom that builds the house. In Proverbs 18 and verse 9 in the Amplified, this is a crazy verse. It says, he who is loose and slack in his work is brother to him who is a destroyer. Okay, it's saying right here that if you just don't have a good work ethic, if you're not, everything that you do, you should be working at it. If you're going to be married, work at your marriage. If you're going to have kids, work at being a great parent. If you're going to go get a job, work at being the best person at the job. But he who is loose and slack is brother to him who is a destroyer. You're going to just destroy anything you get involved in unless you go at it with a passion and a desire for God, his word, and truth. Then it says, and he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is a brother to him who commits suicide. It's the only time in the Amplified Bible the word suicide is even there. And he's saying you should use every endeavor you can find to build yourself up, to heal yourself up, heal up relationships, heal up your broken heart, heal up your wrong thinking, heal up whatever it is you know isn't working. Go after wisdom. Go after God. And when it comes to Holy Spirit, when it comes to his presence, you need to know wisdom is crying out. It's pursuing you. God's goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. God has given us this unfair advantage of his wisdom, his presence, his spirit. Jesus died on the cross to give you his amazing love. Life. Why are we being complacent? Why are we, I guess I should go to church, and they got a great marriage course going on, but you know, it's probably stuff I already know. You know, it's not about what you know, it's about what you can put into work, into action. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. In the Bible, Proverbs especially gives these three distinct areas: knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Now, I don't know how much knowledge you have. I don't know how much understanding you have, but I know how much wisdom you have. You know why? Because wisdom is the application of knowledge. As you understand it and you put it to work, you can just see wisdom. You know, you can look, this young pastor is one of my favorite stories. This young pastor went to a new pastorate in a small town, and it was his first pastorate, and so he wanted to kind of meet all the people who went to the church, those who went and left. And he heard about this older farmer who was just, you know, a quarter mile out of town. And he thought, I'm going to walk out there and visit him. Maybe I can just encourage him to come back to church. And so he started walking out. Let's get a good walk this day. Walked out towards the farm. And as he got closer to this farmer's place, he saw beautiful white fences. I mean, perfectly straight, maintained, looked after, fresh. He saw beautiful red barns and sheds, all placed uniquely in place and well looked after. He saw pastures and animals and the house, and everything was gorgeous and beautiful. The crops that were in the field that he passed, I mean, wow, it was amazing how they were flourishing. And so he walked up and saw this man working in the yard, and he said, excuse me, sir, are you so-and-so? I'm the new pastor of the church here in town, and I just wanted to come and meet you. I'm just looking around at all that God has blessed you with. My God has blessed you. And he's trying to, you know, get into the religious conversation, and the old gentleman looked at this young pastor and he says, yeah, well, you should have seen this place when God had it all by himself. You see, Holy Spirit, the word that is used, Jesus uses to describe him, is our helper. Now, all of us know that we should be led by God. God leads us with his word. He leads us with his spirit, so we'll always make right choices. But yet, the Bible doesn't call Holy Spirit our leader. He calls Holy Spirit our helper. So if I was to say, hey, I need help up here, a couple of you strong men hop up here, and you come up and you're going to just stand there because I asked for help, which means I'm the person that has to take the initiative. So I got to tell them, would you please move this over there? Would you move this over here? So a helper is not the person who's taking the initiative to get things done. And too many Christians sit around waiting for God to blow, for God to move, for the rain to fall, for the things to break, for breakthroughs and all the rest. And when I talk to believers who are succeeding in life and enjoying their lives, you'll usually find someone who is building. Building is the absolute best way to fight the good fight of faith. People think that fighting the good fight of faith in the New Testament is about fighting the devil, or it's about fighting the brass skies, or it's about this fight to get a reluctant God to bless you. And all of those things are wrong. It's talking about this fight in you to build. Build home, build marriage, build finances, build career, build friendships, build your relationship with God. Get into God's word and find out what God's word says. You know, there's a massive exodus in churches today where young couples, you know, they listen to all that's being said on TV and all the new age stuff and all the talk shows, and they start to feel as though the church, well, it's a It's a little outdated, you know, and but man, I'm telling you, some great stuff out here. And they begin to get proud in that they have found something else as their wisdom for marriage and family and home and for a nation and for wisdom. And it's like they begin to pull away from God's word, as though God's word isn't relevant, because today we're very modern people. We're postmodern people. I mean, all these comments, the Bible is saying that it's God's word that you can build on. And we've got to understand that. There needs to be a drive in you that says, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to learn principles. I'm going to read my Bible each day. I want to get out to courses. I want to know the principles that I can build my life on. We are called to wisdom. You know, there's a really cool verse I want to read you. It's a well-known portion of Scripture that we all know. And it's in Luke chapter 6. And it says there that a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from a thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Now take the word treasure out and put in deposit. Because today we don't talk about our treasure. We talk about our bank and our deposits, etc. And you'll understand this verse better. A good man out of the good deposits of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil deposits of his heart brings forth evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart, this mouth speaks. Now, when it talks about an evil man, I always think about an axe murderer or a rapist or some evil person. But the Bible actually uses the word evil when it talks about an evil heart of unbelief, that you move away from believing God, from believing His word. And so Jesus goes on to say one of His most shocking stories. He says, why do you call me Lord? Or in other words, don't call me Lord if you don't do what I say. Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the steam beat vehemently against that house. Couldn't shake it. Couldn't shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, I'm going to say a couple things that you might not have heard it this way before, but storms don't come to strengthen you. Okay? The storm didn't drive the shingles and stick them on the roof better. The storm didn't straighten out any walls that weren't exact. The storm didn't put the siding on properly. The storm didn't close the doors and line them up beautifully. The storms always come to destroy. So what you do is you build this house ahead of time on the rock, which is always symbolic of Jesus, the wisdom of Christ, accepting Him into your heart, and then let His Spirit teach you and guide you into all truth. The Bible's the most astounding, remarkable, beautiful book you'll ever find on the wisdom, so that not just one season of your life is good. In the world, they'll often have success in one area. And it's so rare to have success in every area that they have sayings, Murphy's Laws, like you can't have your cake and eat it too. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. In other words, He wants you to succeed in marriage and family and home and finances, career and health, mental health, physical health, relationships. The Bible is designed to bring you wisdom so that you can build friendships, build your marriage. The problem with so many, and we're going to hear so many great stuff tonight, is that we'll actually stop building something and we just expect it to build automatically. But if you're not on purpose building something, you see, bi-productionalism is a lie. Most people have these comments. Well, you know, if I just love my wife as a byproduct, we're going to have a great relationship, great sex life. And no, whatever you want, you have to go after and build separately. It's, you know, a great For example, a great romance isn't because you're a great provider. And as a byproduct of being a great provider, we ought to have a great time as a couple. No, every individual thing that you desire must be built with the wisdom of God, both universal laws and spiritual laws. And so once we begin to realize that something changes in our lives, storms come to destroy you. And if they can, they will. You build a boat, and every time you put it in the water's going to test it and sink it if it can. But if you've built that boat well, it'll survive the waves, the storm. You build an airplane, every time you launch it in the air, gravity is going to test it, try to bring it down and crash it. But if you obey the principles of gravity, you obey the laws of thrust and lift and all these things, it'll always go up and it'll fly you to the place you want to go. So in life, it's crucial that we're building. Don't start becoming complacent with your marriage, your family, with your kids. Don't look at that beautiful little four-year-old and think, well, you know, we're going to just pray for him and give him to God, and God's going to look after him. God's going to, no, I gave him to you, and I'm asking you to look after him. You raise him in the wisdom and the nurture and the admonition of God. You. And so we've got to make sure that the wisdom that we have is biblical. Proverbs 24:3-5 is just a beautiful, beautiful portion of Scripture. It says, it takes wisdom to have a good family. By wisdom, a house, or we could put in there a home, a family, is built. And it takes understanding to make that home strong. And by understanding, it'll be established. It takes knowledge to fill a home. By knowledge, rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Your nursery will be filled. Your bedroom will be filled with blessing. Your dining room will be blessed. Your office where you look after the company business will be blessed. Every room in your house signifies a different area of life. And it's saying here that every room's going to be blessed by wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And you think, well, it's so hard to find. Wisdom screaming in the streets. Wisdom is hollering at you everywhere you go. There's bookstores of the most brilliant stuff going on right now if you take a time to get off CNN constant negative news and actually read something. Or off your iPhone or your iPad or your computer and just say, I want to learn something about the most precious thing I have, my relationship with God or my spouse. Pride always thinks that somebody else needs to change, not you. But here it says, wise people have great power. They are mightier than strong people, and those with knowledge have great strength. There's something about God's wisdom that makes you rise up and know the storm is blowing, but our marriage is built on the principles of God. You know, the times are tough on our kids. They're going to push us here and they're going to push us there, and I'm sure hoping they're going to be okay. And the other person goes, I taught them who Jesus was. I taught them the cross, the throne. I taught them who they are in Christ. And because of this, when the storms blow in any area of my life, I can be secure. While the guy across the street who has no foundation is basically running out there and trying to hold the shingles down. He's trying to nail the walls together as they slip apart. The foundation is so wet and there is no foundation. The house is tilting. He's pumping the water out of the basement. He is scrambling to keep everything together. The guy across the street who has built his life on the foundation and the principles of God's word is making popcorn and watching TV in the middle of the storm because the principles have built his life. I simply want to get this across to you today. God's grace is beautiful. It is his unearned favor, his ability that has been given to you. But it does not take away from you the purpose of focusing on things and building on purpose every area of your life. In Proverbs 1:7, it says, knowledge begins with respect for the Lord. Have you lost that respect for God's word, for his church? Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have two families, our natural family and our spiritual family. And it's crucial that we grow. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6-13, for the Lord gives wisdom. He gives it. It says his mouth, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the ways of his saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. All of these teachings are saying, God's going to help you. God's going to help you. God's going to show you. Wisdom is readily available. He's going to help guide you in every season of your life, from single to married to kids to grandparents, financial season, whatever season you're going through. If you will have a relationship with Jesus Christ, His Spirit will guide you into all truth. I want to encourage you to think about that today. Make sure that you haven't become complacent. Oh, you're building in the natural, you're building your business. In the natural, you're doing what you think you should do for your wife. Well, I bring home a good paycheck, I bring home the bacon, you know, or however you figured out. But are you actually building that relationship? I'll just close with this last thought. The last verse of Psalms 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I was a kid, I've said this before, we'd sing this song, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I thought that was three women. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And then as I got older, I realized, no. He's saying, for sure, without exception, God's goodness is following you right now. If as I'm speaking, you look at an area of your life and you say, you know, I'm going to stop blaming this person and that person. I'm just going to, you know, I probably haven't built this area of my life on purpose. Well, I have good news for you. Goodness and mercy have been following you the whole time. Mercy is God's ability to forgive. Bam! Just like that. And His goodness just can't wait to break into your life. So don't think, well, I sure blew that. There's just no hope for me. No, His goodness and His mercy has been following you the whole time. Get back. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, make sure that that relationship, it's just crucial, because God will never force Himself into your life. Okay? You've got to invite Him in. And if you're a believer and there's areas of your life that this message has touched on, you went, wow, I don't know if I've been on purpose building this. Our stats are dismal. I was reading an article the other day that said the average father in America spends only a few minutes of actual dialogue, conversation with each of his kids. And then the stats just get bad from there. So we just think that things will just automatically happen by productionalism. I love God, He'll look after my kids. No, everything that you desire, go build. Trust God, pray, let Holy Spirit guide you into truth, God's Word, and all the great, brilliant things that are out there. Let God take you. He's just waiting for you to, in that area. You know, the word repent's an interesting word. Everyone thinks that when you repent, there's got to be tears and snotting and, oh, brokenness. But that's not what the word repent means. The word repent, change your mind, change your direction, you've repented. So we should be in a repentant attitude all the time that says, this is how I've been going in that direction, but I begin to read this, and I'm changing my mind about what I'm going to do. And when you change your mind and your direction, you've repented. You don't have to have an emotional epiphany. You don't have to have a great big emotional thing. It's just a wisdom that says, I change what I think about that, and I'm changing what I do about that, and that 180-degree turn is repentance. No wonder we want to live in a repentant life every day. So as God begins to direct us, oh, okay, I'm changing that, I'm changing what I think about that, and I'm changing what I do about that. And that's where true wisdom will come into your life. Father, I pray today that for all of us, we have things that we need to build, especially our relationship with You. But You have spoken so clearly that in every area of our life that we need help, wisdom is crying out loud, that Your Spirit just can't wait to bring in the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of You, so that the eyes of our understanding would be opened, as Ephesians 1 says. Help us to truly honor You and respect your word and desire to grow in the brilliance that your word gives us. I pray this in your wonderful name. And everybody in agreement said, amen and amen.